last week we finished going through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And one of the things that we saw throughout 1 and 2 Timothy was just this emphasis on Timothy preaching the word, getting the word out there, telling people about who Jesus is. Paul is about to die in 2 Timothy, and he needs to pass on the torch to someone else. He needs to tell others, to teach others, so that they will teach others, other men and other men, and so on and so on. And so this is the process that God had, that that others would teach others, and that even today, even though 2,000 years have passed by, we are still continuing on the gospel message that was left to us by the apostles. That's what God designed it to be. A few weeks ago, we looked at 1 Peter and talked about this process of sharing the gospel with other people. And it really amazed me in 1 Peter how so much of 1 Peter is almost like this manual of early Christian living, going through suffering, but then going through suffering with faith, and going through suffering sharing the gospel with others. And so we made a lot of points out of 1 Peter particularly to talk about evangelism. And some of the same points, I'm going to make those same points today, but I'm going to make them from other verses. What I wanted to do today was really kind of simplify it and make a list of very simple, simple things that you can do, that I can do this week if we want to share the gospel with somebody. And I want to challenge you as we go through this, that you write some of these things down, that you make a mental thought. What else is there? A mental thought. They're all mental thoughts. Never mind. That you make a list in your head and make sure that sometime this week, at least you do some of these ideas. Evangelism, sharing the gospel, is not something that is hard. It's not something that is complicated. Sometimes we overcomplicate the idea. It's simply just sharing the gospel with others. We have something that's important. We want to share it with others. Well, how do we do that? Well, here are some very simple ways that we can do that. And just like we stated when we are going through 1 Peter, 1 Peter makes the point that if we are going to share the gospel, then we have to have the character. Peter assumes that we are going to have the character of a Christian, living a holy life. We can't share the gospel unless we are willing to live the gospel as well. And in fact, we mentioned this verse in Matthew chapter 5 when we are going through 1 Peter. But we mentioned the verse in Matthew chapter 5 in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks to his disciples and says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it become salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We can share the gospel very simply by our conduct, right? We exhibit the will of God in our lives. We act differently. We speak differently. We dress differently. And these differences are going to be noted by people around us. In fact, if we're looking for, well, what specifically is he thinking about? What characteristics is he thinking about specifically? You can go back and read the Beatitudes. I think these are what he has in mind particularly when he talks about the character that we need to have, being poor in spirit, those who mourn for their sins, those who are lowly and humble and meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers, who are willing to sacrifice and become persecuted for the kingdom of heaven. These are the characteristics of kingdom dwellers. But if we are not living out this description, then we're not going to be doing a very good job at sharing the gospel with others. But this is a message that needs to be shared. It is a light for the world. It needs to be shared with all the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone put it under a basket. It has to be something that is shared with those around us. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your God, your Father who is in heaven. There's another passage in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is very, very similar to Matthew chapter 5 when it talks about you are the light of the world. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul gives encouragement and commands to the Christians in Philippi. He says in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to boast, because I did not run in vain nor labor in vain. He encourages his Christians to live out their faith. Don't live complaining and murmuring and disputing and the other sins that we could commit. But here we are to live blamelessly and innocent. We are children of God, living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. If we claim to be Christians, people are going to watch us. Oh yeah? We'll see how you act. And we can have a very positive impact on others' view of God by our good behavior, or we can cause people to blaspheme because of our negative behavior, because of our bad behavior. So this week, one of the simplest things, or maybe one of the most challenging things, live out your faith. Be holy. And be thoughtful about how you act in this, he says, in this crooked and perverse generation. We are going into the world. Don't be of the world. We are going to be in the world, but don't be of the world. You will be in this perverse generation, but you shine as lights in the world. Don't be afraid to be different. That's a hard thing to learn, even for adults. Growing up, it was always hard to be different. But even as adults, we fight against this inner desire to kind of blend in and be like everyone else. We want to have our own unique impact on the world, but we also want to blend in at the same time. I don't know how that works. God wants us to be lights and different from everyone that we see around us, because of our character, because we have a very different Lord. But being a light does not work if you don't tell people why you are a light. Does that make sense? I can do good works all day, and people will think what? David's a pretty nice guy. But they're not going to be impacted by the importance of those good works until I do what? Until I tell people who I am and why I am. Because that's one thing. That's a very simple idea. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read this when we read through 1 Peter. But 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 5, or verse 15, Peter says to the Christians, after going through a large section where he talks about the conduct that we are going to have in this, in the world, he says that you need to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, and with gentleness and fear, having a good conscience, so that in the very thing that you are slandered, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. So he talks about the idea that, yes, we have to have a good conduct, but we don't have just a good conduct and remain mute. We tell people about our good God that has blessed us, that has created us. We don't just say, we are thankful. We're not just going to say, yeah, I was, I, or let me say, just that this is a good opportunity. What did you do for Thanksgiving? Who did we thank for Thanksgiving? Was it more the custom, more and more the custom in the United States is to say what? We thank each other for the good company that we have, and we forget who it is that really needs to be thanked, right? It is God. What a great opportunity that we have. We're going back into the workplace. We're going back to school. We're going back to different places. Don't be afraid to tell people that you believe in God. Don't ask permission to tell people that you're a Christian. Don't think you have to apologize for leading a holy life. And in fact, tell people that God is good and God has blessed us. And that is how you make your defense. It's not going into a large defense of the how you use the book of Revelation or Ezekiel or something like that. That's not what Peter has in mind here. He says, give a defense for the hope that is in you. Why do you believe what you believe? You say that you're a Christian. Why do you say that you're a Christian? Share that with others. Share it with those who are around you. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus speaks to his apostles when he is sending them out. He is sending them out, and he is sending them out into very dangerous territory because he knows there will be persecution. There will be some who will not want to listen to the word of God. But he says in chapter 10 not to have fear. He says in chapter 10 in verse 32, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. I think we've all felt at some point the embarrassment of having to tell people about my faith. We're embarrassed at some point I don't know how they're going to react. I don't know if they're going to make fun of me. I don't know if I'm going to lose my relationship with this person. Or maybe even you lose my job if I open up my mouth. Lose opportunities. Let us remember that the Lord has spoken. The Lord has died for us. He has sacrificed everything so that we might have salvation. And now he is calling us to tell everyone else because of that great gift that he has given to us. We must confess his name before men so that he will confess our name before the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verses 5 through 7, this is a little bit of a different point. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Many times when we're going to talk to someone about the gospel, there is a lot of fear in my heart and my mind about, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I'm thoughtful here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, that Paul puts an emphasis on the fact that it's when we share the gospel with someone, it's not about me. It's not about me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth, so that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. So often I miss perfect opportunities because I think that I don't have the perfect answer. I don't have the perfect segue into a spiritual conversation. So I pass up the opportunity altogether. I'm thinking about it. Have you ever been there? I can't tell you how many times I've been on a plane and I have someone sitting beside me. I know that I ought to talk to the person beside me, even though that some people find that really annoying. But I know I ought to talk to the person beside me and talk to them about the gospel and say something looking for that perfect opportunity, the perfect opportunity, and then the opportunity passes. Don't let that happen. We put so much emphasis on me and my brilliant ideas and my brilliant segues and how I'm going to do this perfectly, and we put the emphasis in the wrong place altogether. Be honest, direct, with people you want to talk to. Tell them, I have something to say that maybe you don't want to hear. Or maybe I have something to say that I know you do need to hear. And you will want to hear once you hear about Jesus. The worst thing is not fumbling a conversation. The worst thing is never having that conversation. Don't miss up opportunities. Remember, you present the gospel. And what is the gospel? Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is emphasizing that he did not come to Corinth with wisdom, with philosophy, with brilliant words. In fact, he came and says, verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. We realize that in our hands, we have the power of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 also comes to the same conclusion, that this gospel message, what Jesus has done, this is the power of God, and it needs to be shared to everyone. It says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Use the gospel. Talk about God. Talk about the things that you learn about in Bible class. Talk about the things that you learn about, you read about, in your daily Bible reading. Tell people about how good God is. Use opportunities when you're talking about your weekend or about your week, and just say, God is good. God bless me in these ways. I was thinking about this the other day, that so often in the Bible you have people just yelling out thanksgiving to God because God does something so wonderful for them. We get a promotion. Something happens. We get a spot. I don't know. You get some type of blessing. And so often we say, yes, I lucked out that time. Give the credit to God. Use that as an opportunity to open up your mouth and tell people about who Jesus is. These are easy, simple things that we can do. It's not complicated. Another thing that's very, very simple is invite others. Look at John chapter 1. I'm really encouraged by the examples that we have of the first apostles and how they came to the Lord. In John chapter 1, for example, in John chapter 1, and in verse 40, as Jesus approaches, is approaching his disciples for the first time, it says in verse 43, I'm sorry, in verse 40, it says, one of the two who heard John speak followed him. He was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. On the next day, he desired to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Especially these two stories where what does Andrew do when he learns about the Messiah, learns about Jesus? He goes and he finds family members. He finds Peter. He says, come along with me. Come along with me. We don't have any of the conversation that happened between the two of them, but he just invites him to go. It is he. We have found the Messiah. How do you know he's the Messiah? Give me more information. He just said, come. And then Philip, when he goes and finds Nathanael, good friends, but Nathanael does offer some type of obstacle. Wait a minute, you're saying he's from Nazareth? What's going to be good that comes out of Nazareth? Philip doesn't sit there and argue with him. He simply says what? Come and see. Is that hard? Nathanael doesn't have all the answers. Or Philip doesn't have all the answers. Andrew doesn't have all the answers. But they know someone who does. And really, so much of sharing the gospel, it's an invitation to come to Jesus. Not to come to my perfect knowledge of what the scriptures say, nor my perfect life or my perfect family. It's to come to know Jesus and who he is. It's also to come to know other brethren who can give more answers. I challenge you in all of these things. If you know friends that need the gospel, and I know you do know friends that need the gospel, talk to them. Talk to them. And if you feel like, you know what, I don't know if I can answer their questions, Justin should be here pretty soon, and you can talk to him. Set up a study with him. Set up a study with me. Set up a study among maybe two or three of you. Find ways that you can get together and invite them to Bible studies throughout the week. Invite them to services. These are very simple ways that we can say, these are opportunities where Jesus is going to be preached. The power of God is going to be preached. Take advantage of these opportunities. Give you one more thing that we can do that would be just as a very simple thing that we can do during the week. Pray for the gospel. Pray for the gospel. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been bound, that I may make manifest in the way I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, redeeming the time. Let your words always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should answer each person. And verses 2 through 4 specifically talk about Paul's request for prayer. For what? So that he can have doors of opportunities, that's one thing, but then also that he might know how to take those doors. It's really interesting to me that even the Apostle Paul needs help on some of these ideas, that he needs doors of opportunity. Help me to have more opportunities, but then also pray that I know how I ought to speak. Conversations are hard, aren't they? And we need all the help that we can get. Even Paul requested the prayers of the saints so that he would be able to do this job of spreading the gospel. And do it in a way that would give glory to God, and that he would have opportunities to serve the Lord in this way. Can I make a request that when you are praying, pray for yourself that you would have opportunities. Pray for yourself that you would know how to take those opportunities. But let me also request that as Justin and myself are here in Philadelphia, devoting ourselves to the work of spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel with others, pray that God will put opportunities in our hands. And that, when we do have those opportunities, that we will take those opportunities in ways that will give glory to God. Another passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will strengthen and guard you from the evil one. So he talks about wicked and perverse men that would be persecuting himself, Paul. But he also realizes that the Lord is faithful, and who is he strengthening as well? He's strengthening the Thessalonians. That there's all sorts of wicked things that can happen, all sorts of persecution that can happen with Paul, or also he's left the church there in Thessalonica in a situation where they are facing persecution day by day. And so he's asking for the Lord's faithfulness. Help us during these times. Lord, strengthen us. Be praying about that. This really brings us full circle to our scripture reading in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1, where Timothy was told in verse 1, first of all, I exhort you that petitions and prayers and requests and thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a full knowledge of the truth. Are you impressed with Paul? Just how often he's talking about this need to share the gospel with others. Pray for me so that I can have open doors. Pray for me so that I can get around these obstacles of persecution. Pray for these situations so that the gospel can be taken, there will be peace, and the gospel will be taken to all men, because this is the desire of God. Paul knew the need for the need to share the gospel with others. Do we understand that need? Are we willing to participate in these things? Again, let me just challenge you to be thoughtful of these things. Make a list of people you know around you who do not have the gospel. Pray about that list. Pray about those people. And it's amazing, while we are praying about those people, we are more mindful about that need and more mindful about opportunities that we do have. Praying about it will lift up those people in front of the Lord. Praying about opportunities for ourselves, praying about opportunities for evangelists among the group. These will lift up these opportunities before the Lord, and he will do something with them. But then also it will keep the need for us to be active. Each one of us in this work of sharing the gospel, we have a treasure in our hands. We must confess it. We must share it. It is not right for us to receive this good news and not share it with others. I pray that that's your spirit as well. Thank you so much for your time. God bless us all.